Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, speaking of Twitter and things like that, the prospect of Robert Kennedy Jr. being in charge of healthcare in the US has put focus back on this weird intersection between the worlds of wellness and conspiracy theories. You remember, like, it really sprang up in the pandemics, like your friend who was into yoga suddenly became a passionate anti-vaxxer. So I'm joined now by Ciarán O'Connor, who's a researcher with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue and an expert in all this kind of area. Hi, Ciarán.
Morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good, thanks. So maybe tell us first how and why, I think they call it conspirituality, this crossover between wellness and conspiracy theories. It exploded in COVID, didn't it?
Exactly, yes. So the kind of backstory to this is that during COVID, conspiratorial thinking really exploded. Conspiracy theories thrive in a time of uncertainty, in a time of complexity. There's no simple solution for what's happening. And a pandemic is a prime example of that. So people do go seeking answers, do go seeking perhaps solutions. And that's what conspiracy theories do very effectively. They offer a very simplistic solution that often speaks to sinister plots, secretive elites acting in concert against people. And they often offer a solution or someone to blame for people as well. So COVID was a period of isolation, complex time. People went online for all manner of reasons, but some people went online looking for the truth. And the kind of, I suppose, intersection with wellness culture. I mean, I suppose it's important to state, first of all, that wellness culture is not an automatic gateway towards conspiratorial thinking.
Yeah. There's so wellness culture, if just briefly for people who are kind of saying what do they mean, is kind of online, largely.
Online, offline, it's existed for decades. Health, wellness culture, alternative medicine. I mean, people who are interested in health and wellness culture, alt medicine, they're also interested in mainstream medicine for most people. And these things exist side by side, okay, quite happily, quite healthily. But what came to the fore during COVID was that there was a subsection of people interested in this culture who saw this as the ultimate truth, the only truth, and saw kind of an overlap in perhaps their own means of thinking and kind of having questions or suspicions about mainstream medicine and a kind of marriage with what conspiracy theories offered, that kind of absolute truth, that simplistic solution for what was going on at the time.
Okay. And so is there something about the beliefs that can permeate some aspects of the wellness community that were open to kind of conspiracy theories?
Yeah, well, the wellness culture itself has its origins in a kind of counterculture movement of decades past. And at the heart of that, there's a kind of individualism, a search for truth, kind of in self-empowerment, seeking answers of yourself, of the world. And what conspiracy theories do, they offer solutions, okay, they offer answers. And there's kind of three facets here that are quite important. There's kind of the identity of people who might be interested or susceptible to this stuff. Again, small minority, I think, of that kind of wellness culture. There's a kind of desire for
freedom.
When
you say their identity, how they see themselves.
How they see themselves and why that might make people who preach these kinds of conspiracy theories more relatable to themselves. So they see themselves in the kinds of influencers that go online. So then you're talking about attention and this attention economy that we've been living in for the last few years. So in those kinds of early months of COVID, I mean, one thing we haven't really touched upon here, but QAnon, it's a conspiracy theory that originated in the US. And whilst it originally was focused on the deep state and very political claims, during COVID, it kind of branched out and became more anti-establishment, anti-mainstream in a lot of ways. And some of the kind of earliest adopters beyond that initial core were wellness influencers in the US who would have used social media platforms to marry these ideas, these kind of conspiratorial claims with their own identity and present it in a highly aesthetically pleasing way on social media.
Okay, and I think you call this the pastel QAnon. So, QAnon can feel to a lot of people like kind of grimy and the dark corners of the internet and all that. Mm. So these influencers then are making all this stuff more palatable and kind of more aesthetically friendly for people, essentially, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. You can, in a lot of the research that we've done and others have done, you can see this shift happening between March, April, May 2020, when these kind of QAnon child sex trafficking claims got repackaged and became very aesthetically pleasing to appear on platforms like Instagram in pastel graphics that remove a lot of the kind of harder edge of this. And that's what helped, I suppose, explode that kind of QAnon thinking online in combination with platform algorithms, recommender systems that recommended Facebook groups, recommended Instagram channels. And that's what really helped that QAnon thinking explode.
Okay, so if you were into wellness, you could very quickly get algorithmized down a particular avenue.
Again, it's not an automatic that people in wellness culture will get into or become interested in conspiracy theories, but a lot of the early influencers who were kind of responsible for that kind of merging or that kind of pipeline from the softer aspects of QAnon and marrying it with this idea of questioning the mainstream, questioning what was happening in society at the time, came from that wellness culture in the US specifically, yeah.
Okay, and it's interesting. You mentioned about identity and how people kind of empathise with these people. Are a lot of people more likely to trust an influencer these days than doctors, experts, kind of, you know, far away kind of people? This is someone you feel you have some kind of parasocial relationship with.
I think so, yes. And I know you had Mark Little on here maybe two weeks ago talking about the kind of new counterculture, the kind of promotion of everyone's own truth or everyone's own freedom. This is a similar dynamic there, that it's not just limited to wellness. So influencers online, people who have large followings, are speaking directly to followers. They're bypassing the traditional kind of gatekeepers like mass media, and they're selling some version of, be it reality or the truth. And in that, because they are highly relatable, they're very aesthetically pleasing in how they present their content, present their life or their personality online, that can then make people more susceptible, because perhaps they see something of themselves in the people who are pushing this stuff online.
Yeah, no, in defense of those people who might get sucked down those kind of alleyways, people probably have reasonably good reasons, even before the pandemic, to be a bit suspicious of big pharma. Women would often say about conventional medicine that it's geared at sorting men's problems is the norm there, and that, you know, women's problems specific women's health issues didn't get the attention they deserved for a long time.
No, and that's a very important point to bring up, because the mainstream medicine of decades past, centuries past, has often been geared towards male medicine kind of first. So all the kind of procedures and ways to treat illnesses have been geared towards that initially, and that has led to women perhaps going to doctors for different ailments, different illnesses, and being told there's nothing more we can do because there's no effective treatment for that. And that in itself perhaps making people then, or making women then, perhaps more prone to seeking out holistic or alternative medicines. And again, these can exist very happily, complementarily, side by side. But for some, the way especially a lot of these claims are pushed online, it's not a some of this and some of that. It's this is the only way to treat something. This is the only way to cure something. And that's where you see, I suppose, conspiratorial thinking be very effective.
And then conspiracy theories, we can associate them with men and young men in particular. So did the wellness intersection then, did that draw a lot more women into conspiracy theories?
Well, yes. You see, a lot of wellness culture has, I suppose, kind of a feminine, female-led persona, personalities, influencers online. And that's what I talk about, identity and the power of influencers online creating kind of very relatable personalities. They talk about their own personal journey, their own truth. And that then, yes, is highly appealing on platforms like Instagram, where there's highly individualistic influencers promoting their own ideas and their own personalities, and then that being boosted by algorithms into echo chambers online as well, can leave a lot of people, in this case women, sometimes more susceptible, yeah.
And where does the so-called trad wife movement fit into all this then?
So Tradwife is a kind of push against the mainstream in a similar way. Again, it's originating in the US. And what it is a rejection of modernity, of the mainstream, and creating a kind of a revisionism, a return to some idealized form of 1950s, 1960s America, where everything is done naturally, everything is done in the home, homesteading being a part of that as well. And kind of running core throughout all that as well is a rejection of the mainstream, or at the sharper edge of it, a rejection of the kind of elite controlled society, and then a push to go it your own way.
Okay, so the women who are kind of being pushed with the Tradwife thing and who are pushing the Tradwife thing, they actually believe there's an empowerment in there in some way, that they are rejecting control, even if we might see it as that they are allowing themselves to be controlled by their husbands.
Yes, exactly. And if you look at this is also so closely tied to social media and the projection of a very perfect lifestyle, and the aesthetics involved as well are all part of marketing a lifestyle too. So what you have then on social media is this creation of a fiction. It's not a reality. It's something that's highly idealized of decades past, but that has been highly appealing for a lot of people, and the way it's marketed as well. And core to a lot of this stuff as well is that, be it kind of wellness conspiracy theory influencers or Tradwife influencers, they're often marketing products, they're often marketing services themselves. So as much as what they're saying should be paid attention to, it should also be what they're selling should be paid attention to as well.
Yeah, because it's usually a grift of some kind, isn't it?
There's a lot of that involved, yeah.
Okay, so RFK Jr. now potentially being appointed health secretary in the US, extolling the raw milk is one thing that everyone seems to talk a lot about as one of his things. Does this mean that this kind of conspirituality could now become the mainstream in the US?
Yeah, time will tell to see how RFK Jr. or the Department of Health over there is going to pivot, or what it might endorse, or what it might throw by the wayside. The kind of journey, I suppose, of RFK Jr. is very typical of the harder edge of how alt medicine or holistic or these kinds of types of medicine can be preached, but can be wrapped in this kind of conspiratorial anti-elite, the mainstream is out to get you because of your own beliefs. And now we're seeing the kind of endorsement of that true RFK Jr.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it could be completely bonkers. Are we seeing this in the wellness community in Ireland?
Not to the same degree, no. Okay. I mean, this really is like a lot of the push of conspiratorial thinking that's happened in the last 5 or 10 years has its origins in the US, and purely because of the language we speak and the culture we consume, we are kind of swimming in that stream. Okay. As well. So a lot of the big name, I suppose, kind of wellness, conspiracy influencers are US based, yeah.
Okay, but it's not landing here to the same extent, but we are on the edges of their ecosystem. So if somebody knows somebody who's been drawn into all this, and I think a lot of people in the pandemic were worried about a lot of people in their lives, but I think people still have these concerns about people who are slightly heading that direction. What's the best way to deal with it?
It's very difficult because people wrap up their own reality, their own livelihoods, everything in a lot of this thinking. And this isn't limited to wellness or those specific topics. This is something that we're dealing with since the pandemic in a big way across all types of lifestyles, let's say. If you think pre-pandemic, there was different silos, perhaps, of communities or cultures. But what happened during COVID was there was a merging under kind of a conspiratorial thinking. So in kind of engaging with people, your friends or family, what we would recommend is to maintain some form of communication, even if it's not on the specific topics that your friend or family have become intensely interested in, but maintain some. I mean, sports, for example, could be a safe topic, something like that.
Keep them in the loop, and maybe don't be attacking their reality all the time. They're pretty attached to it. Yeah,
you might push them further down a rabbit hole then.
Really? Okay. All right. Ciarán O'Connor, researcher with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. That is all absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.